ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धनमज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्टदृशाम् एष पुराणार्कोऽधुनोदितः।
I was told that we will be reading from various Leelas of Krishna, Vraj Leela, from now on up until Janmashtami, and particularly concentrating on Krishna's activities of killing the demons. According to authorities such as Srila Kirti Prabhu, in his experience, Srila Prabhupada was especially fond of hearing pastimes in which Krishna killed demons. And so the first demon that Krishna killed in Vraj Leela was the demoness Putana. So I thought it would be appropriate to begin there. And this is the 10th canto, chapter 6, Killing of the Demon Putana. A summary of the 6th chapter is as follows. When Nanda Maharaj, following the instructions of Vasudeva, was returning home, he saw a great demoniac woman lying on the road, and he heard about her death. While Nanda Maharaj, the king of Raj, was thinking about Vasudeva's words concerning disturbances in Gokula, he was a little afraid and sought shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Hari. Meanwhile, Kamsa sent to the village of Gokula a Rakshasi named Putana, who was wandering here and there killing small babies. Of course, wherever there is no Krishna consciousness, there is the danger of such Rakshasis. But since the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself was in Gokula, Putana could accept nothing there but her own death. One day Putana arrived from outer space in Gokula, the home of Nanda Maharaj, and by displaying her mystic power, she assumed the disguise of a very beautiful woman. Taking courage, she immediately entered Krishna's bedroom without anyone's permission. By the grace of Krishna, no one forbade her to enter the house or the room, because that was Krishna's desire. The baby Krishna, who resembled a fire covered by ashes, looked upon Putana and thought that he would have to kill this demon, the beautiful woman. Enchanted by the influence of Yoga Maya and the personality of Godhead, Putana took Krishna upon her lap, and neither Rohini nor Yashoda objected. The demon Putana offered her breast for Krishna to suck, but her breast was smeared with poison. The child Krishna, therefore, squeezed Putana's breast so severely that in unbearable pain she had to assume her original body and fell to the ground. Then Krishna began playing on her breast, just like a small child. When Krishna was playing, the gopis were pacified and took the child away to their own laps. After this incident, the gopis took precautions because of the attack of the Rakshasi. Mother Yashoda gave the child her breast to suck and then laid him in bed. Meanwhile, Nanda and his associates, the cowherd men, returned from Mathura, and when they saw the great dead body of Putana, they were struck with wonder. Everyone was astonished that Vasudev had foretold this mishap, and they praised Vasudev for his power of foresight. The inhabitants of Vraja cut the gigantic body of Puchna into pieces, but because Krishna had sucked her breast, she had been freed from all sins. And therefore, when the cowherd men burned the pieces of her body in a fire, the smoke filled the air with a very pleasing fragrance. Ultimately, although Putana had desired to kill Krishna, she attained the Lord's abode. From this incident, we can gain the instruction that if one is attached to Krishna somehow or other, even as an enemy, one ultimately attains success. What then is to be said of the devotees who are naturally attached to Krishna in love? When the inhabitants of Vraja heard about the killing of Putana and the welfare of the child, they were very much satisfied. Nanda Maharaj took the baby Krishna on his lap and was filled with satisfaction. So, Shukdev Goswami, this is a text number one, we'll just read the verses. Shukdev Goswami continued, "My dear king, while Nanda Maharaj was on the way home, he considered what Vasudev had said could not be false or useless. There must have been some danger or disturbances in Gokula. As Nanda Maharaj thought about the danger for his beautiful son Krishna, he was afraid, and he took shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Controller. While Nanda Maharaj was returning to Gokula, the same fierce Putana, whom Kamsa had previously engaged to kill babies, was wandering about in the towns, cities, and villages, doing her nefarious duty. My dear king, wherever people in any position perform their occupational duties of devotional service by chanting and hearing Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnoho, there cannot be any danger from bad elements. Therefore, there was no need for anxiety about Gokula while the Supreme Personality of Godhead was personally present. Once upon a time, Putana Rakshasi, who could move according to her desire and was wandering in outer space, converted herself by mystic power into a very beautiful woman, and thus entered Gokula, the abode of Nanda Maharaj." There's a purport here by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. "Rakshasis learn mystic powers by which they can travel in outer space without machines. In some parts of India there are still such mystical witches who can sit on a stick and use it to fly from one place to another in a very short time. This art was known to Putana. Assuming the feature of a very beautiful woman, she entered Nanda Maharaja's abode, Gokula." It's interesting, we have the same concept in Western culture of witches riding on brooms, they say. Elsewhere, Prabhupada translates this as they take a branch and they ride on that. But it's a very similar narrative. Now there's a description of Putana with her beauty. "Her hips were full, her breasts were large and firm, seeming to overburden her slim waist, and she was dressed very nicely. Her hair, adorned with a garden of mallika flowers, was scattered about her beautiful face." What are mallika flowers? You can pick up a pile of them on the donation box right in front of Rukmini Dwarkadish. They're jasmine, little jasmine flowers. Those are called mallika, as we're offering to Krishna. "Her earrings were brilliant, and as she smiled very attractively, glancing upon everyone, her beauty drew the attention of all the inhabitants of Vraja, especially the men. When the gopis saw her, they thought that the beautiful goddess of fortune, holding a lotus flower in her hand, had come to see her husband, Krishna. While searching for small children, Putana, whose business was to kill them, entered the house of Nanda Maharaj unobstructed, having been sent by the superior potency of the Lord. Without asking anyone's permission, she entered Nanda Maharaj's room, where she saw the child sleeping in bed, his unlimited power covered like a powerful fire covered by ashes. She could understand that this child was not ordinary, but was meant to kill all demons. Lord Sri Krishna, the all-pervading Supersoul, lying on the bed, understood that Putana, a witch who was expert in killing small children, had come to kill him. Therefore, as if afraid of her, Krishna closed his eyes. Thus Putana took upon her lap him who was to be her own annihilation, just as an unintelligent person places a sleeping snake upon his lap, thinking the snake to be a rope. Now, there are some comments here in Srila Prabhupada's purports. There are two perplexities. When Krishna saw that Putana had come to kill him, he thought that since she was a woman and was at least feigning motherly affection, he had to give her some sort of benediction, and so he closed his eyes. Putana was also perplexed. She wasn't intelligent enough to understand that she was taking a sleeping snake upon her lap. The two words, anthakam and ananthum, are contradictory. These are two words that are used in the verse to describe Krishna. What does ananta mean? What? Unlimited, or literally, what does it mean? Ananta. There's no end. And yet he's also anthakam. He is the end. So Prabhupada says they're contradictory. He is the anthaka, or the end, of Putana, but in fact he's ananta. He is himself without any end. So it's a poetic device there. Because of not being intelligent, Putana thought that she could kill her antakam, the source of her annihilation. But because he is ananta, unlimited, or as we said before, without any end, no one can kill him. Putana Rakshasi's heart was fierce and cruel, but she looked like a very affectionate mother. Thus, she resembled a sharp sword in a soft sheath. Just like we say in English, right? An iron fist in a velvet glove. So that was Krishna. Or as the previous verse said, like fire covered by ashes. When you have hot coals covered by gray ash, you can't really tell how hot it is unless you choose to touch it, then you know. Sorry? Yeah, that's right. Although seeing her within the room, Yashoda and Rohini, overwhelmed by her beauty, did not stop her, but remained silent because she treated the child like a mother. So it's described by the commentators that they thought that some great demigod, perhaps even Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune herself, had come to see her son because her son was so naturally all attractive and wonderful. That's what the gopis, simple gopis, they thought like that. They thought, oh, the wife of Lord Shiva has come, or maybe the mother of the universe has come, Lakshmi Devi herself. This is what they were thinking. So if someone who looked to be, for example, like the sun god were to walk into this room, it's not very likely anyone would have any hesitation. And similarly, this is what the gopis were thinking. So no one checked her. On that very spot, the fiercely dangerous Rakshasi took Krishna on her lap and pushed her breast into his mouth. The nipple of her breast was smeared with a dangerous, immediately effective poison, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, becoming very angry at her, took hold of her breast, squeezed it very hard with both hands, and sucked out both the poison and her life. She had a rude awakening, you might say. Purport. Lord Krishna was not angry at Putana for his own sake. Rather, he was angry because the Rakshasi had killed so many small children in Vrajabhumi. Remember, she was the same Rakshasi that Kamsa had engaged in killing so many demons. And Krishna was so uptight with her because she had killed so many devotees, so many Vrajavasis she had already killed before she even saw him. So he thought, this is it. Therefore, he decided that she should be punished by having to forfeit her life. What's the most poisonous substance that we know to man? What's the most dangerous poison, anyone know? Ricin. Ricin. And it comes from a plant that grows all over naturally here. If you walk over to, say, to Baldwin Hills, you'll see so many plants. Castor bean. Any part of that plant can kill you if you eat it. They make castor oil from it. But it's very, very dangerous. So it's a little bit like that. She had smeared such a substance on her breast, and she was hoping to kill Krishna. Unbearably pressed in every vital point, the demon Putana began to cry, "Please, leave me, suck my breast no longer." Perspiring, her eyes wide open and her arms and legs flailing, she cried very loudly, again and again. Prabhupada notes here, she also, in addition to crying and throwing her arms and legs about, she began to kick. Krishna began to kick her with his legs to punish her properly for her mischievous activities. As Putana screamed loudly and forcefully, the earth with its mountains and outer space with its planets all trembled. Here in Los Angeles, we are very well acquainted with what we call bhukampana. Bhukampana means trembling of the earth, earthquakes. So this was going on. This was such an event that even the earth was trembling at the loud, forceful cries of Putana as she was being killed by the Lord. The lower planets and all directions vibrated, and people fell down, fearing that thunderbolts were falling upon them. What a scene. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks that in this verse, the word rasa refers to the planetary systems below the verse, below the earth, such as Rasatala, etc. In this way, the demon Putana, very much aggrieved because her breast was being attacked by Krishna, lost her life. O King Parikshit, opening her mouth wide and spreading her arms, legs, and hair, she fell down in the pasturing ground in her original form as a Rakshasi, as Vritrasura had fallen when killed by the thunderbolt of Indra. Purport. Putana was a great Rakshasi who knew the art of covering her original form by mystic power, but when she was killed, her mystic power could not hide her, and she appeared in her original form. O King Parikshit, when the gigantic body of Putana fell to the ground, it smashed all the trees within a limit of 12 miles. That's further than it is from here to the ocean, about three times that length. So not only was Putana killing babies before she attempted to kill Krishna, but she was also killing Vrijavasis even in her death, because when she fell on the ground, she smashed so many trees and plants there. So she was very, very offensive. The Rakshasi's mouth was full of teeth, each resembling the front of a plow. Her nostrils were deep, like mountain caves, and her breasts resembled big slabs of stone fallen from a hill. Her scattered hair was the color of copper. Those of you who have red hair, please do not take offense. The sockets of her eyes appeared like deep blind wells. Her fearful thighs resembled the banks of a river. Her arms, legs, and feet seemed like big bridges, and her abdomen appeared like a dried up lake. The hearts, ears, and heads of the cowherd men and women were already shocked by the Rakshasi's screaming, and when they saw the fierce wonder of her body, they were even more frightened. We're shifting gears now, listen to this. Without fear, the child Krishna was playing on the upper portion of Putana Rakshasi's breast. And when the gopis saw the child's wonderful activities, they immediately came forward with great jubilation and picked him up. Purport. This is where we can see why Prabhupada called these purports his transcendental ecstasies. Here's the purport by Srila Prabhupada. Here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, dash, Krishna, period. Although the Rakshasi Putana could increase or decrease her bodily size by her mystic abilities and thus gain proportionate power, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is equally powerful in any transcendental form. Krishna is the real Personality of Godhead because whether as a child or as a grown-up young man, he is the same person. He does not need to become powerful by meditation or any other external endeavor. Therefore, when the greatly powerful Putana expanded her body, Krishna remained the same small child and fearlessly played on the upper portion of her breast. Shad Aishwarya Purna. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is always full in all potencies, regardless of whether he is present in this form or that. His potencies are always full. Parasya Shaktir Vivathaiva Shruyate. He can display all potencies under any circumstances. Now we switch gears again. Thereafter, Mother Yashoda and Rohini, along with the other elderly gopis, waved about the switch of a cow to give full protection to the child Sri Krishna. Purport. When Krishna was saved from such danger, Mother Yashoda and Rohini were principally concerned, and the other elderly gopis, who were almost equally concerned, followed the activities of Mother Yashoda and Rohini. Tishtan vrajetad anuragi jananugami, Rup Goswami advises. He says the essence of all advice is that one should live in Vrindavan and follow one of these associates of Krishna. Here we see that the elderly gopis, sub-gopis we might say, who are in maternal rasa, they're following the activities of Yashoda and Rohini. Whatever those two do, they follow. They take their cue from Yashoda or Rohini. Here we find that in household affairs, ladies could take charge of protecting a child simply by taking help from the cow. As described here, they knew how to wave about the switch of a cow so as to protect the child from all types of danger. There are so many facilities afforded by cow protection, but people have forgotten these arts. The importance of protecting cows is therefore stressed by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Krishi gorakshya vanajyam vaishakarma sabhavajam. Even now, in the Indian villages surrounding Vrindavan, the villagers live happily simply by giving protection to the cow. They keep cow dung very carefully and dry it to use it as fuel. What do we call those dried cow dung? Gobar. In Hindi, they're called gobar. Therefore, some people say, Govardhan. That Govardhan Hill, the real wealth of Govardhan Hill, is all the gobars that can be collected from it. Dhan means wealth, so Govardhan. This is Raja lore. You don't know these things until you live there. So, Prabhupada is stressing here, cow protection. Simply by giving protection to the cow, the villagers live so peacefully. Even the urine and stool of cows have medicinal value. Text 20. The child was thoroughly washed with cow urine and then smeared with the dust raised by the movements of the cows. That's called godhuli. In the afternoon in Vrindavan and all over India, traditional India, we call it godhuli kal, cow dust time. Because at that time the cows come back from the pasture in the late afternoon and they raise all the dust from walking. Of course, everyone who's been to India knows it's a very dusty place. And when the cows come home, they raise clouds of dust. Krishna becomes covered by this dust and it's considered to be very beautiful for him. If you walk from Krishna Balaram's temple over, say, to the MVT, or because we get hungry, we go to the MVT restaurant in Vrindavan. You have to walk through the courtyard that contains so much dust. And if you'll notice, those who have lived there or spent some time there, that dust is always sparkling, as if gold dust. In fact, it's Chintamani dust, and it has a certain sparkling property to it in the sun, which is always there in India. They put it in cement now? I haven't been there in 5 years, so I'm speaking from memory, but this godhuli, this cow dust, this is what covers Krishna when he comes home. And Mother Yashoda and Rohini, they take their sons upon their laps. And what happens according to Rupa Goswami? How does Krishna bathe? He doesn't go and take a bath in the water. He's bathed with the breast milk that naturally flows out of spontaneous affection from the breasts of Mother Yashoda and Rohini. And all that godhuli is removed thus. But even even these auspicious, it's auspicious either way. The cow dust is auspicious, the cow urine and the gobars, all of it is auspicious. So then the gopis, they apply different names of the Lord with cow dung on 12 different parts of his body, beginning with the forehead, as done in applying tilak. In this way, the child was given protection. In Hari Bhakti Vilas, it's stated like this. The same names that we use when we're putting on tilak, you can use those as kavacha. Kavacha means a protective shield. You can also chant those names while bathing in the holy rivers, or in any river for that matter, these same 12 names. So the gopis knew these things. The gopis first executed the process of achaman, drinking a sip of water from the right hand. They purified their bodies and hands with a nyas mantra, and then they applied the same mantra upon the body of the child. Purport. Nyas mantra includes achaman, or first drinking a sip of water kept in the right hand. There are different Vishnu mantras to purify the body. The gopis, and in fact any householders, knew the process for being purified by chanting Vedic hymns. The gopis executed this process first to purify themselves and then to purify the child Krishna. One executes the process of anganyas or ankaranyasa simply by drinking a little sip of water and chanting the mantra. The mantra is preceded with the first letter of the name, followed by anuswar and the word namaha. Am namo ajas tavangri avyat, mam mano manimangs tava januni avyat, and so on. By losing Indian culture, Indian householders have forgotten how to execute the anganyasa and are simply busy in sense gratification without any advanced knowledge of human civilization. Now, Shukdev Goswami informed Maharaj Parikshit that the gopis, following the proper system, protected Krishna, their child, with this mantra. May Aja protect your legs. This is a kavacha, as we were saying earlier. May Maniman protect your knees, Yajna your thighs, Achyuta the upper part of your waist, Hayagriva your abdomen, may Keshava protect your heart, Isha your chest, the sun god your neck, Vishnu your arms, Urukrama your face, Ishvara your head. May Chakri protect you from the front, may Sri Hari, Gadadhari, the carrier of the club, protect you from the back. And may the carrier of the bow, who is known as the enemy of Madhu, and Lord Ajana, the carrier of the sword, protect your two sides. May Lord Urugaya, the carrier of the conch shell, protect you from all corners. May Upendra protect you from above. May Garuda protect you on the ground. And may Lord Haladhara, the Supreme Person, protect you on all sides. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Even in the houses of the cultivators, who were not very advanced in the modern ways of civilization, the ladies used to know how to chant mantras to give protection to children with the help of cow dung and cow urine. This was a simple and practical way to give the greatest protection from the greatest dangers. People should know how to do this, for this is a part of Vedic civilization. So we can also protect our own children with this very same mantra. These are standard procedures. They continued, may Hrishikesha protect your senses and Narayana your life air. May the master of Shvetadvip protect the core of your heart, and may Lord Yogeshwara protect your mind. May Lord Prishnigarbha protect your intelligence and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, your soul. While you are playing, may Govinda protect you. And while you are sleeping, may Madhava protect you. May Lord Vaikuntha protect you while you are walking. And may Lord Narayana, the husband of the goddess of fortune, protect you while you are sitting. Similarly, may Lord Yajnabhuk, the fearful enemy of all evil planets, always protect you while you enjoy life. The evil witches known as Dakinis, Yatudhanis, and Kushmandas are the greatest enemies of children, and the evil spirits like the Bhutas, Pretas, Pishachas, Yakshas, Rakshasas, and Vinayakas, as well as witches like Kotara, Revati, Jeshta, Putana, and Matrika, are always ready to give trouble to the body, the life air, and the senses, causing loss of memory, madness, and bad dreams. Like most experienced evil stars, they all create great disturbances, especially for children, but one can vanquish them simply by uttering Lord Vishnu's name. For when Lord Vishnu's name resounds, all of them become afraid and go away. Srila Prabhupada writes here, the material world is full of danger, padam padam yad vipadam. Therefore, one must become a Vaishnava and think of Vishnu constantly. This is made easier by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended, Kirtaniya Sada Harihi, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam, and Kirtanad Eva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Vrajet. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, we're nearing the end of the chapter now. All the gopis, headed by Mother Yashoda, were bound by maternal affection. After they thus chanted mantras to protect the child, Mother Yashoda gave the child the nipple of her breast to suck, and then got him to lie down on his bed. Purport. This is another one of those classic Srila Prabhupada purports. When a baby drinks milk from the breast of his mother, this is a good sign of health. So the elderly gopis were not satisfied with chanting mantras to give protection to Krishna. They also tested whether their child's health was in order. When the child sucked the breast, this confirmed that he was healthy. And when the gopis were fully satisfied, they had the child lie down in his bed. Meanwhile, all the cowherd men, headed by Nanda Maharaj, returned from Mathura. This is the next verse. And when they saw on the way the gigantic body of Putana lying dead, they were struck with great wonder. Purport. Nanda Maharaj's wonder may be understood in various ways. First of all, the cowherd men had never before seen such a gigantic body in Vrindavan. Therefore, they were struck with wonder. Then they began to consider where such a body had come from, whether it had dropped from the sky, or whether by some mistake or some power of some mystic yogini they had come to some place other than Vrindavan. They could not actually guess what had happened. Therefore, they were struck with wonder. Nanda Maharaj and the other gopis exclaimed, "My dear friends, you must know that Anakadundabhi, Vasudeva, has become a great saint or a master of mystic power. Otherwise, how could he have foreseen this calamity and predicted it to us?" Purport. This verse illustrates the difference between Kshatriyas and innocent Vaishyas. By studying the political situation, Vasudeva could see what would happen, whereas Nanda Maharaj, the king of the agriculturalists, could only guess that Vasudeva was a great saintly person and had developed mystic powers. Vasudeva actually had all mystic powers under his control, otherwise he could not have become the father of Krishna. But in fact, he foresaw the calamities in Vraj by studying Kamsa's political activities, and thus warned Nanda Maharaj to take precautions. Although Nanda Maharaj thought that Vasudeva had predicted this incident through wonderful mystic powers. By mystic powers gained through the practice of Hatha Yoga, one can study and understand the future. The inhabitants of Vraja cut the gigantic body of Putana into pieces with the help of axes. Thus, they threw the pieces far away, covering them with wood and burned them to ashes. purport. It is the practice that after a snake has been killed, its body is cut into various pieces for fear that it may come to life again simply by interacting with air. After all, what is it that keeps the life within the body, mind complex? Who knows? Prana. Prana means the air, or the life force within the air. So sometimes it happens like that. Rarely, but it can happen. So merely killing a serpent is not sufficient. After it is killed, it must be cut to pieces and burned, and then the danger will be over. Putana resembled a great serpent, and therefore the cowherd men took the same precautions by burning her body to ashes. Because of Krishna's having sucked the breast of the Rakshasi Putana, when Krishna killed her, she was immediately freed of all material contamination. Her sinful reactions automatically vanished, and therefore when her gigantic body was being burnt, the smoke emanating from her body was fragrant like aguru incense. Putana was always hankering for the blood of human children. And with that desire, she came to kill Krishna. But because she had offered her breast to the Lord, she attained the greatest achievement. What then is to be said of those who had natural devotion and affection for Krishna as mothers, and who offered him their breasts to suck, or offered something very dear, as a mother offers something to a child? Purport. Putana, had no affection for Krishna. Rather, she was envious and wanted to kill him. Nonetheless, because with or without knowledge she offered her breast, she attained the highest achievement in life. But the offerings of devotees attracted to Krishna in parental love are always sincere. A mother likes to offer something to her child with affection and love. There's no question of envy. So here we can make a comparative study. If Putana could attain such an exalted position in spiritual life by neglectfully, enviously making an offering to Krishna, what is to be said of Mother Yashoda and the other gopis who served Krishna with such great affection and love, offering everything for Krishna's satisfaction? The gopis automatically achieved the highest perfection. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended the affection of the gopis, either in maternal affection or in conjugal love, as the highest perfection in life. Ramya kachit upasana vrajavadhu vargena ya kalpita. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on this set of verses here, that he places Mother Yashoda, from a distance he offers respect to Mother Yashoda, whom he considers enthroned in the highest position, and he can say no more about it. That's the purport of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And Srila Prabhupada sort of paraphrases earlier comments he made. He said, if Putana, who came with neither love nor neutrality, but rather envy and an intent to kill Krishna, if she could be delivered not only from her sinful existence, but to a position in Goloka, which we'll see in the coming verses, was the benediction that she received, then what to speak of someone who approaches Krishna in neglect? He will also be benefited. And better than someone who approaches Krishna with neglect is someone who has some faith. But even better than someone who is neglectful or faithful is someone who actually loves Krishna and offers everything to him with great affection, like these gopis did. So there's no question. And we know from the third canto as well that she was given the possession of dhatri uchitam, a position like a nurse, not exactly equal to Mother Yashoda or Rohini, because she didn't deserve that, but she was nonetheless promoted, the word here is used, swarga, to swarga loka. But this swarga, the commentators write that it doesn't mean the heavenly planets. Let's just go on, because it's actually in Prabhupada's purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is always situated within the core of the heart of the pure devotee, and he is always offered prayers by such worshipable personalities as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Because Krishna embraced Putana's body with great pleasure and sucked her breast, although she was a great witch, she attained the position of a mother in the transcendental world and thus achieved the highest perfection. What then is to be said of the cows whose nipples Krishna sucked with great pleasure and who offered their milk very jubilantly with affection, exactly like that of a mother? Sometimes we see the picture of Krishna pushing away the calf and drinking the milk straight from the cow's udder. See, these cows, they're not ordinary cows. They're all expansions of Surabhi, and they have the most fortunate position to, in maternal bhava, vatsalya rasa, to serve Krishna in that mode. Purport. These verses explain how devotional service rendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whether directly or indirectly, knowingly or unknowingly, becomes successful. Putana was neither a devotee nor a non-devotee. She was actually a demoniac witch instructed by Kamsa to kill Krishna. So she was neither faithful nor neglectful. She was envious. And she was sent by Krishna specifically to murder this child. Nonetheless, in the beginning, she assumed a form of a very beautiful woman and approached Krishna exactly like an affectionate mother, so that Mother Yashoda and Rohini did not doubt her sincerity. The Lord took all this into consideration, and thus she was automatically promoted to a position like that of Mother Yashoda. As explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, there are various roles one may play in such a position. Putana was immediately promoted to Vaikuntha Loka, which is also sometimes described as Swarga. The Swarga mentioned in this verse is not the material heavenly planet, but the transcendental world. In Vaikuntha Loka, Putana attained the position of a nurse, Dhatri Uchitam, as described by Uddhava. That was the third canto reference we mentioned. Putana was elevated to the position of a nurse and maidservant in Golok Vrindavan to assist Mother Yashoda. Now, Srila Prabhupada says she went to Vaikuntha, and he also says she went to Golok Vrindavan. How are we to reconcile this? Anyone know? The commentaries use the word Sukhaishwarya Dhamma, that place where there is happiness and opulence equal to Vaikuntha, in other words, Goloka. So she didn't go to Vaikuntha where Lord Chaturbhuj Narayana resides. She went to Goloka Vrindavan where Krishna is served in great happiness and opulence. There's a difference between Goloka in the spiritual world and Goloka Gokula in this world. In other words, we call them Goloka Vrindavan and Bhoma Vrindavan. So of these pastimes, the Chaitanya Chandrodaya Natak tells us, the pastimes in the material world in Gokula Dham are actually more sweet, relishable, and intimate, even than those that are going on in Goloka. Therefore, Putana could not participate any longer in the Gokula Lila. She had to go to Goloka. This is a subtle consideration. But still, she attained the perfection of life because she got the position of a nursemaid. Not exactly a mother, but an assistant to the mothers of the Lord in that holy Dham. Next text. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is the bestower of many benedictions, including liberation, kaivalya, or oneness with the Brahman effulgence. For that personality of Godhead, the gopis always felt maternal love, and Krishna sucked their breasts with full satisfaction. Therefore, because of their relationship as mother and son, although the gopis were engaged in various family activities, one should never think that they returned to this material world after leaving their bodies. And the commentators point out here that this verse is spoken by Shukdev Goswami just to destroy any doubt that one may have about the benediction that Putana received. She went back to Godhead. She didn't return to this mature world and did not go even to a heavenly planet. So what kind of mercy is that? Someone comes, and someone envious of Krishna comes in the service of a demon like Kamsa with the intent to kill Krishna, and he sends her back to Godhead and allows her to serve Mother Yashoda and other of the greatest devotees. There's a very nice purport here by Srila Prabhupada, and the commentators, the commentaries of the previous acharyas are also the longest on these last verses here. But I think we're running out of time, so we'll just finish up. Two more verses. Three more verses. Upon smelling the fragrance of the smoke emanating from Putana's burning body, many inhabitants of Vrajabhumi in distant places were astonished. What is this fragrance? Where is this fragrance coming from? They asked. Thus they went to the spot where Putana's body was being burnt. When the inhabitants of Vraja, who had come from distant places, heard the whole story of how Putana had come and then been killed by Krishna, they were certainly astonished, and they offered their blessings to the child for his wonderful deed of killing Putana. Nanda Maharaj, of course, was very much obliged to Vasudeva, who had foreseen the incident, and simply thanked him, thinking how wonderful Vasudeva was. O Maharaj Pariksit, the best of the Kurus, Nanda Maharaj was very liberal and simple. He immediately took his son Krishna on his lap, as if Krishna had returned from death. And by formally smelling his son's head, Nanda Maharaj undoubtedly enjoyed transcendental bliss. Any person who hears with faith and devotion about how Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, killed Putana, and who thus invests his hearing in such childhood pastimes of Krishna, certainly attains attachment for Govinda, the Supreme Original Person. Purport. This incident in which the great witch attempted to kill the child but was killed himself is certainly wonderful. Therefore, this verse uses the word adbhutam, meaning specifically wonderful. Krishna has left us many wonderful narrations about him. Simply by reading these narrations as they are described in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one gains salvation from this material world and gradually develops attachment to and devotion for Govinda, Adi Purusha. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 10th canto, 6th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Killing of the Demon Putana. Now, just as a final comment, I don't have time to read it, but there's a very short essay, about a page and a half, where it's actually an excerpt from a longer essay in Bhaktivikas Maharaj's new biography of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in which he quotes the conclusion of an essay written by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur on this topic of Putana Witch. There he says that Putana Witch actually represents all demons who have the mode of pseudo-religious or pseudo-academic presentation. So-called scholars and so-called religious authorities who are actually bogus, cheaters. And he says that just as Putana Witch was entrusted with the task of killing all the children in Vraja before they could grow up, potentially to become the Supreme Lord. Similarly, these pseudo-religionists and pseudo-academics who are offensive and do not follow parampara conclusions, their purpose is actually to kill the budding faith of any aspiring spiritualist. Before it can possibly flower into Krishna consciousness, they want to contaminate, kill, or otherwise destroy one's faith. This is the purpose of the followers of Putana. It's a very eloquent article. I advise everyone to read it. It paraphrases the teachings given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur before him, his father. but this is something we should consider also whenever we're discussing the death of Putana, that even such an envious person was delivered by the mercy of Krishna. Aho bhaki yamstana kala kutam jighasaya payayad apiya sadhvi Lebhe katin dhatri uchitam, tato anyam kam vadayalam sharanam prajema. Shukdev Goswami asks, really Uddhava asks in the third canto, to what more merciful person shall I go for shelter than Krishna? Because even though this person was sadhvi, she was not a sadhu, she was asadhvi, she was non-saintly, she was demoniac, and her intent was to kill Krishna with powerful poison, Krishna nonetheless offered her a position of a nursemaid in Golok Vrindavan. Need we say more? So we'll stop here. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Sri Krishna Janmashtami ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go Premanandi.